Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
It's been too long since we have joined you for a live broadcast, so let's do it and talk some Big 12. I know we've got many football questions. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is who we are, covering the Big 12. Thanks for joining us. If you're just here for the first time, check. Make sure you're subscribed. Same thing on the podcast as well. Drop a 5-star rating and review. So appreciate you doing that. Hit the like button. And yes, make sure you're subscribed. We've got your questions in the mailbag, and we are going to start with the playoff conversation. So there are new reports, and many of you had questions about this, so I'll just hit this right out of the gates. In the meantime, get your questions in right now live. The big question is the college football playoff going to go to 16 or 24 teams? Well, there is reporting that Ross Dellinger put out this week that with all these commissioners and the Notre Dame AD meeting in Dallas this week, it looks like there is a big push towards 24 teams. Now, is that the best thing for the Big 12? Yes. Is that the best thing for college football? No, it's not. But two different answers, two different questions, right? So here's where this is at right now based on Dellinger's reporting. Everybody wants 24 teams except for the SEC, who wants 16 teams. The reason for that is all these schools are trying to figure out how much money they can make and try to obviously prop up the rest of the athletics department, which is just being soaked right now by football and to a lesser extent basketball. So they think that with a 24-team college football playoff, which would go from 11 playoff games to 23 playoff games, so you would more than double your playoff games, these conferences can make a boatload of money and throw it at the bottom line. The SEC is like, you know, we didn't want to go to 9 conference games. We went to it because we thought we would get a 16-team playoff. We're not sure we really need 24, so they're the holdouts. The Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12, and Notre Dame, they're down with 24. But the decision gets to be made by the SEC and the Big Ten. That's it. That's all that matters. They're the two conferences that have to agree on how to expand the playoff. They didn't expand it for this year because the SEC wanted 16, the Big Ten wanted 24. They said, fine, we'll keep it at 12. So we've got 12 for one more year. But it does look like on top of this, you've got this White House commission that's also now not really having a lot of say, but is at least part of the conversation. And they're advocates of 24 teams. And if you get a 24-team playoff, you're obviously getting rid of the conference championship games, which I think at this point most people would be happy about. But for the Big 12, 24 is best. The Big 12 just needs access. That's what the Big 12 desperately needs right now, is access. They have only won one game in the entire playoff era. That was TCU against Michigan. We talked about that ad nauseum. The Big 12 just needs as many teams in as it possibly can get. Is that the best thing for the sport? I don't believe that it is. College football's strength has always been its regular season. Now, does this make it a wild run through November? Yeah, it makes November a lot of fun, I guess, if you're, you know, on the team on the outside looking in. That's true. But what does it mean? And what does it do for September and October? Are you taking away some of the enthusiasm that the sport has always had starting week one? I believe it does. And I've thought that since this whole playoff began. When it went from, you know, the BCS to 4 teams to now 12 teams, I do believe it takes away from what has been, in part, college football's greatest asset, which is its regular season and the importance of the regular season. Just ask the NBA what it's like to have a regular season that means absolutely nothing. It's not going well for them at all. So that's the part of it I don't like. But just from a pure Big 12 perspective, getting to a 24-team college football playoff is in the Big 12 and Brett Yormark's best interest because it brings more money to the league and it gets the Big 12 theoretically more access. And that's what the Big 12 needs. It needs access and it needs to start winning games because under this current model, the Big 12 is probably suited for one team and then you got to get a perfect storm to get a second team into the playoff right now in the Big 12, in the 12-team format. It's very difficult. I thought BYU was more than worthy of it last year. Only losses to Texas Tech. And of course, they're on the outside looking in. So what do? You got to grow this thing out and then try to get some wins once you get in there. So that's where I'm at. And that's where the reporting is at right now on the college football playoff. Get your questions in. And let's get to your stuff here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thanks for joining us. Please like the video. It's fun to be here back live with you guys. You know, I didn't know if you were into the live. We kind of cut the lives the last few weeks because it just seemed like there wasn't as much traction. Now, some of you are yelling at me and saying, hey, I wasn't as consistent on the times as I was during football. That's true. That's fair. Life got in the way. Some other things got in the way in terms of just, you know, trying to navigate around the basketball schedule. But if you're happy with the lives, let me know. Drop a comment in there and we'll bring them back. I'm thinking Monday or Tuesday nights are a good time to go live with you guys. But you let me know what you think. All right. Some of your questions here. Pete, does the Big 12 get two teams into the college football playoff this coming season? That's Brian commenting on Facebook. Right now, Brian, I will say no, the Big 12 does not. I mean, last year, BYU had two losses. They went into the Big 12 championship game with one loss. Lost to that same team they already lost to in Texas Tech, and they didn't get in. So that means basically the Big 12 has to get two undefeated teams, or I guess you would say a one-loss team and an undefeated team to a Big 12 championship, and then theoretically the one-loss team has to upset the undefeated team to end up with two teams in the playoff out of the Big 12. You got to pull the inside straight. I don't see it happening this year, so I do not believe that the Big 12 is going to get two teams into the college football playoff. No way, no how. Let's see. Connor says here, this is right now on Facebook Live. Pete, who are your favorites for the Big 12 title game next year? Well, right now, it's early, but I would have to say a rematch of Texas Tech and BYU. The favorites. Doesn't mean they're overwhelming favorites. I'm actually not as high on Tech and some other teams as some people are right now. Not saying they don't deserve to be the favorites. They do. But I think that they're getting actually too much love based on last season. Clay says here on Facebook, way, way too early, top five teams heading into 2026 and why? Okay, that's a very good one. I'm going to... I put together a little list here because I knew it would be a little bit controversial no matter what I did here on this. And you're not going to hold me to this come August. But looking at it right now, here would be my teams, top five in the Big 12. I would go Texas Tech. I would go BYU. I would toss in the Houston Cougars. I would add in the Arizona Wildcats. And I would tap into the Kansas State Wildcats. Those would be my top five right now. Way, way too early. Tech, BYU, Houston, Arizona, and K-State. A lot of people are high on TCU. I'm not. Okay? You're going to rely on a quarterback from Harvard to get you over the hump with a new offensive coordinator. If it works, great. The defense should be better. You're losing three of your top four wide receivers at TCU as well. I've got to see it first to believe it. I'm high on Oklahoma State. I think that Eric Morris really could get that thing popping with all the pickups he brought in from North Texas. Who else am I higher on than some other national pundits might be? Well, I'll tell you who I'm not as high on. I'm not as high on Utah as some people are. There's this sense that, well, you've got the quarterback back and, you know, there's a lot of good pieces in place. Okay, you lose two offensive linemen who are probably going in the first round of the NFL draft. You lose your head coach. You have a first-time head coach in Morgan Scalley. You lose those coordinators as well, or at least one of your coordinators, to Michigan with the head coach. You lose multiple pieces to the NFL. You lose pieces to the portal. Yes, they've restocked and reloaded in many ways. And I'm not sitting here saying Utah's going 4-8. But I just think that there's too much love right now for Utah based on what I've seen and what I believe this offseason has shaped up to be thus far. And I believe that we're undervaluing the transition at the top of the program from a 2+ decade head coach to the next guy in line. I'm not as low on Colorado as some people are. I think Deion's navigated the portal much better, just looking for guys who have done it and not going for the highest ceiling. And he's made some changes there on the coaching staff as well. Arizona State is one I don't have a good feel for right now. A lot of new faces. Same thing with the Kansas Jayhawks. I think Iowa State's going to take a major step back. Cincinnati could exceed expectations. I'm higher on Cincinnati than most people. Everyone's just talking about Brendan Sorsby going to Tech. But you know what? Satterfield's actually put together a pretty decent offseason. UCF, I believe, can be better than people expect under Scott Frost as well. I'm probably higher on them and West Virginia than the average college football national pundit might be. So I do think that there's upside for quite a few teams here, and I think someone's going to absolutely shock the Big 12 in a way that no one sees coming. Could it be Oklahoma State? Sure. Could it be, you know, a team that's in it at the very end that no one sees coming? I could make the case for a Baylor to be that team right now. I really believe that. So, you know, I'm higher on some of these teams than a lot of people are. The national pundits are all about Tech, BYU. Okay, that's understandable. But then they're like into this phase of Utah and Arizona State. And I just think they're kind of, not that I don't think those teams can be good, but I think it's kind of lazy. Because, well, Utah's always good and Arizona State's got Dillingham and people love them. There's a lot of change at that Arizona State program right now. A lot. So we got to pump the brakes on some of that as well. What do you got for me here? Steve says, as a Tech fan, it feels like our fan base is disconnected from reality and can't fathom that other programs could also be better than last season. That's an excellent point, Steve. I know there's no question there, but it just, like, there was this story that Kalshi, the odds maker, had Texas Tech as the most likely team in the country to go undefeated this season out of all the Power Four teams. Now, I get it because it might be easier for Tech in the Big 12 to go undefeated than, say, Georgia in the SEC. So I get it from a math perspective, but I just think that in some cases, there's too much living off of last season. Tech had an all-world defense, and yes, they've got great pieces there again. But you're talking about a top five pick and edge rusher in David Bailey that you're losing. Like, I don't think you just magically replace that. And maybe you're better at quarterback, but I also think that the Sorsby thing, and I've said it for months, is getting overblown in many respects. So they're the favorite in the Big 12. I believe that people are overreacting to the gap between Tech and everybody else in the conference. And I would say if you're a Tech fan, do that at your own peril. That's it. That's all I've got. What else? John says, is it time to sound the alarm on the Tech 26-27 basketball season? No, not yet. I don't think anybody can sound the alarm in basketball yet because there's still so much to come with the portal. But yeah, I understand if you're sitting there right now and you're looking at the news this week and you're like, oh my goodness, we now have to deal with Texas Tech and we've got to deal with, you know, Christian Anderson hitting the portal. Yeah, you're not happy about that at all. But I'm not going to freak out just yet, okay? If there is an opportunity for Grant McCaslin, who's a great coach and a perfect fit in Lubbock, to get the guys he needs in there to make this team competitive at the top of the Big 12, he will have the resources to do it. So I'm not going to hit the panic button just yet. No way, no how. Jared asks, which head coach is on the hottest seat right now? I assume you mean in football. It's got to be Dave Aranda. That's the most obvious answer. If there's a Big 12 football coach who is on the hot seat at this moment, it is Dave Aranda at Baylor. Many of us are still amazed he kept his job after last season. He did. But if he doesn't win this year, and I mean at least get to a bowl game, I don't know how you keep him. I don't know how you could sit there, look at your fans and look at your donors who you're trying to get money from for NIL and say, we're going to run this thing back again. At some point, the 2021 Big 12 championship game is more than half a decade ago. You can't keep living off that thing, especially with so much change happening since that championship going back 5 years now. So it's got to be Dave Aranda when it comes to the hottest seat in the Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Please make sure you are subscribed to the channel right here on the show. Who else would have a hot seat, though, in the Big 12 at this point? You might make the case for Satterfield, but I actually think Satterfield's safer than Aranda, and he should be. Hey, if Deion Sanders bombs out, people are going to wonder, was it just about Shadur and Travis? What he's done for the university, I don't think should warrant a hot seat, but you know what? If it's as bad this year as it was last year, it's a fair conversation to have. Other hot seats, you know, I think of Sonny Dykes. He just got a big contract extension, but he's in this like 7-5, 8-4 mode since the national championship run, which, if we're being fair, was with Gary Patterson's dudes. And if Max Duggan, or who was it who got injured in that first game? And if Max Duggan doesn't come in, who knows how that season changes? I'm blanking on who actually started the year at quarterback for TCU in that championship year, because it was not Max Duggan. Duggan came in that first game, won it, and obviously never gave the job back. I don't think that Frost or Rich Rod are on any hot seats in year two, and they shouldn't be either. So the obvious choices there would be Dave Aranda and Scott Satterfield. What else? Give me your good stuff here. Did Indiana, this is from Stan, put together the recipe for every school in college football to become a national champion? Well, you got to give me a little more there, Stan, in terms of what you mean by that and what you define as the recipe. I do know this much. Kurt Cignetti came out this week and said, we did not spend on the roster what people think we spent on the roster. You know, there were reports that they spent like $40 million bucks on the roster, and Cignetti made it clear that we did not spend $40 million bucks on that roster. But you know what? So much of it, too, is just getting the right feel for guys. Who they are. Do they fit? It's a very different skill set, if you think about it. So Cignetti responded to a post on X saying, Indiana did not pay $40 million to win a national championship. And Cignetti responds and says, correct, not even close. So it's not just about buying the best players. It's about buying the right players who are the right fit. That's what it's about. And that's a different skill set than getting in a guy at 18 and developing him in your program and seeing that pathway for him. This is about putting a new puzzle together with new pieces every single year with, yes, budget constraints to go along with it. So that's where it's a different model. It's really a different job, and it's a different evaluation. And Cignetti seems to have perfected at Cincinnati. And, you know, he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for that. So absolutely, that model, if you can find guys who know how to do it, is one that will win. And it doesn't necessarily need to cost you $40 million or whatever, like, you know, people are talking about on social media here over the last couple of weeks when it comes to how much money it's costing these guys. What else do you have on the questions here? Let's see. Give me some good stuff. Gave you the way too far. If the college football playoff were to expand, what's your preferred format? Started off the show with that, and give me 16, but for the Big 12, it actually is 24. That's if you just want it from a Big 12 perspective, it is 24. Dustin, Sunflower Showdown on the Diamond this weekend. Who you got? I don't know how you go against Kansas. I know they're both playing pretty well right now, but KU is on this magic carpet ride right now in baseball. It is absolutely fascinating to watch this season play out for Kansas baseball. So I'm going to roll with Kansas over K-State, but when's the last time the Sunflower Showdown had any juice in baseball? It's got more juice in baseball than it had in basketball this season. So that's pretty darn good. Who else can say that, right? But the baseball season's been fun. I've been following it more than I have the last couple of years, and it's just been totally upside down. I mean, outside of West Virginia, who we expected to be good, but TCU struggling, Tech struggling, Baylor, I mean, all these programs that have some history as being very good Big 12 baseball teams and college baseball programs are in the dumps. And then you look at the standings and you're like, boy, there's KU. Okay, West Virginia's developed to be a good program. They're right in the thick of it. You know, K-State's in there. It's like the standings are upside down based on weather and geography and all these things that you typically would think as benefiting Southern teams. And the Big 12's just reversed the whole thing. It's bizarre to see how the baseball season has played out. Get your questions in here. We are live with you on Heartland College Sports. All right, Bracket Cat says, has Tech finally calmed down and realized they are not the second coming of Texas? Oh, that is, you are trying to poke the bear, aren't you, Bracket Cat? You want to poke the bear. You are under the assumption that Tech ever thought it was the second coming of Texas. I just think that Tech wanted to be the first coming of Texas Tech. You might claim that's a cop-out answer. I don't believe it is. I don't think Tech ever wanted to be Texas. They don't want to be the wine and cheese Longhorns crowd. I don't think that's what they want at all. So I would disagree with your sentiment there. I don't think it's a fair one when you look at what Tech did this past season. And do they want to beat Texas? Absolutely, they want to beat Texas. But I don't think they want to be Texas. They just want to beat them. What else do you have here? Ethan says, does Arizona State have the best wide receiving core in the Big 12 this year? Well, they're certainly right up there. Right away, you think about Amarion Miller, right? The Colorado transfer. He's your number one top wide receiver, true stud. You're thrilled about that if you're an Arizona State fan. And obviously, when you got Hines Ward, you're thinking to yourself, hey, who do we have here that can develop? Is it a guy like Reed Harris? Is it a guy like Jalen Moss who pops? Is it Raiden Vines-Bright? I mean, there are names there, obviously, that Arizona State fans are high on. Is it the best right now? I can't say it is at this point in time. I just can't get myself to that point. Can it be the best? Yes. Absolutely, it can be the best. There's no doubt about it. Is it the best today as we sit here and just have the conversation? I'm not convinced that it is because Texas Tech made a ton of additions and changes to wide receiver. They needed it after last season. They had to get improvements there. So they got some big groups as well. A great group, good players to come in. We know, you know, guys like Reggie Virgil, Kenny Johnson comes in from Pittsburgh, Caleb Douglas. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of talent at Texas Tech as well. Is Amarion Miller the best of the bunch? Yes. Does it mean it's the best group? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So I probably would lean to Tech, but Arizona State's got the number one guy right now. Pop in some questions. What else do you have for me? We got some Arizona State fans in here. I'm noticing more of that. Hey, let us know where you're watching from as well. I like to give out some of the small town shout outs. I'll leave you with, not leave you, but I'll drop you this story while you get your questions in. Oh, yeah, that's right. Caleb Douglas is in the draft coming up this week. Thank you for correcting me on that. Yeah, you're right about that. But they got the Pitt transfer, so I'm big on, you know, people are big on that guy, Kenny Johnson. But Caleb's in the draft. Speaking of small towns, you know, I used to work in Woodward, Oklahoma, which is down in the northwest part of Oklahoma. I'm now up in Kansas City. And I called high school football across the Oklahoma Panhandle, Texas Panhandle, southwest Kansas early in my career. And on my radio show in Kansas City, I was talking about Meade, Kansas. What's the population of Meade? Meade, Kansas population. Let me look that up. 1,436 is the Meade, Kansas population. When I was calling football, it was actually the first high school football game I called. Great people, amazing community down there in Meade, Kansas. And their head coach, Scott Mosier, big-time head coach down there. Great guy. Could not have been nicer for my first high school football broadcast down in Oklahoma when I was working down there about 15 years ago. And I mentioned his name on the radio in Kansas City, and it was just kind of in passing talking about a story and, you know, small town Kansas. And a relative of Coach Mosier texted into the show and said, "Hey, Scott Mosier is my uncle." And then Scott Mosier texts into the show out of Meade, Kansas. And I'm like, this is crazy. So small world, that's what I love about building these communities, whether it's on radio, whether it's on the podcast right now with you, the YouTube channel. I'm all about it. I love this stuff. I love looking up new places on the map and having a good time learning where our audience is coming from and really, you know, who everybody is, because that's what makes this thing pop. You know, I think that we are really in an era in media where I would rather have, I mean, we've grown this audience tremendously, and that's because of you sharing the show and passing it on, but I would rather have a much more diehard audience than the biggest audience ever imaginable that is not a tight-knit community. And we've got that here at Heartland College Sports. That's because of you. The forums keep growing. They're free as well. I mean, our newsletter, which you can subscribe to that in the show notes. All these things are just building this Big 12 community and, you know, growing this thing together. And that's what I love about, you know, what we've done for over 10 years here on the show. So I see Chandler, Arizona, Oklahoma City, Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin's in the house as well. We've got Kansas. We've got Iowa. So we are right now spreading all across the heartland and really across the country, as you would expect. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. We appreciate the time. Please make sure you're subscribed, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm Pete Mundo on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. See you later.